book of Genesis is about beginnings. God created. The book of Exodus is about deliverance. I'm in the book of Exodus at the moment. God delivers his people out of Egypt, where they had been for the past 430 years, according to chapter 12, verse number 40. And Moses is commanded by God to lead his people out of Egypt and to lead them into the promised land. Pharaoh refuses to let them go. God sends 10 judgments, 10 plagues, one after another to persuade Pharaoh to let Israel go. And after the final judgment and the death of every firstborn, Israel is finally asked to leave. So some 600,000 men, besides women and children, march out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. I'd like for us to read Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 to 7, please. And then I'd like to preach a sermon titled, When the Egyptians Are in Pursuit. When the Egyptians are in pursuit. Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 to 7, it reads, And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. Ironic, isn't it? Because he told them to leave, and it reads that he's been told they've run away. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would teach us from your eternal word. Lord God, all scripture is given by inspiration of thee, and you've told us it's profitable. We believe that, and by faith I pray that you would reveal that to us this morning as you meet our needs in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as you can imagine, doing God's will is never straightforward. Nor can it be done without opposition. The two go hand in hand. At least we can rejoice in the fact that opposition means that we are advancing. Pharaoh rallies his men and in pursuit of the Israelites, the Egyptian army pursuing the Israelites is a fitting picture of the spiritual warfare that we are in. The Israelites did not harm the Egyptians, did they? In fact, they served them for some 430 years. That's worthy of long service, is it not? And the Israelites have just turn the corner, and God has opened up a new chapter in their history and has led Moses to guide God's people out of Egypt into the promised land. The nation of Israel has not harmed the Egyptian empire. But here we find them just simply doing God's will, and they are met with opposition. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our monthly theme is prayer, praying for churches of like faith. And the Lord Jesus promised the perpetuity of his church. It will grow, It will advance, but there will be opposition because Jesus said, but the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So our Lord not only promised the advancement of His work, of His church, but He said, at the same time, there will be opposition, but that opposition will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. And as the church of Jesus Christ moves forward, it will encounter some opposition. But we will prevail. God's given us that promise. The question must be asked, what are we to do? How do we respond when the work of God is being attacked by the enemy? And within this chapter, I'd like for us to note some principles that will help us. As we see the miraculous take place, God gives some counsel concerning what to do when the Egyptians are in pursuit. You might be in a personal situation and you sense that evil is working contrary to what God would have you to do. I believe God's word will help us this morning. What should you do as an individual? What should we do as a church family as evil tries to triumph our God-given purpose and will? Let's begin in verse number 13 of Exodus chapter 14. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Lesson number one. Fear ye not. When the Egyptians are in pursuit, how should we respond? Lesson number one. Fear ye not. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Why? Because fear is painful. It's hurtful. Back in verse number 10, the Bible teaches us that as the nation of Israel noted the army of Pharaoh pursuing them, in verse 10, the Bible reads that they were sore afraid. They were so fearful that it was physically painful. They were beyond just scared. You could say they were petrified with physical pain. See, fear is crippling. Fear holds a person back. It's the opposite of faith. And brethren, the Bible teaches us, as Bible-believing Christians, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We all get fearful at times. It is only natural, but it's not spiritual. But the Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And when we get a little bit fearful, God tells us that His remedy for you and I is to mature in our Christian faith. Our fears reveal our lack of maturity or a low level of maturity. So therefore we are to rise up and grow in our love for the Lord. And as we mature spiritually, perfect love casts out fear. That's God's remedy. Let me ask you this morning, how is fear crippling you from fulfilling God's will for your life and moving forward? In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4, the Bible reads, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. And all God's people said, that's the place to start, fear not. When the Egyptians are in pursuit, fear not, brethren. Don't be afraid. Lesson number 2 is also found in verse number 13. Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Then he went on to say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Lesson number two. What are we to do when the Egyptians are in pursuit? Lesson number one. Fear not. Don't be afraid. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Secondly, when the Egyptians are in pursuit, brethren, we are to look to the Lord for deliverance. Look to the Lord for deliverance. Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of God. Our focus needs to be on our Almighty God. He can do the impossible. The little phrase there, stand still, is positional. Stand in your position and see the salvation of the Lord. Our faith, brethren, needs to be in what God can do and not what we can do in our own strength. And I think so often our faith, though we don't say it in so many words, we live it out, our faith rests in what we can do. But really, at the end of the day, the battle is the Lord's, is it not? We do our part, but really God is the one that signs the deal off. Because He is God, He is Lord. The Lord is our deliverer. When God works, it will be complete. And Moses said to the nation of Israel, these Egyptians before you, you'll see them no more forever. I will take care of them. And God is able, brethren. When the Egyptians are in pursuit, and all that we're trying to do is just do the will of God, minding our own business, well, God can take care of the Egyptians, and God can take care of the Egyptians well, and take care of them completely. It was C.H. Spurgeon who said, faith listens neither to presumption, nor to despair, nor to cowardness. But it hears God say, stand still. And immovable as a rock stands, stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man. Ready for action. Expecting further orders. Cheerfully and patiently awaiting the directing voice. And it will not be long that God shall say to you, as distinctively as Moses said to the people of Israel, go forward, go forward. Brethren, where is our focus when we are being attacked? My friend, it needs to be on the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Joshua wrestled with the angel of the Lord, Joshua said, whose side are you really on? And the angel of the Lord said, that's not the issue. You need to get on my side. I'm the captain here. I'm going to take control. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 26. Look to the Lord for deliverance. Lesson number three, what to do when the Egyptians are in pursuit, is found in verse number 14. The first part of the verse, it reads, the Lord shall fight for you. And the third lesson I'd like for us to note this morning is that God is continually at work. We need to be mindful that God is actively working in our lives. Even though from time to time we don't see it with our naked eye, I think of the life of Joseph. What a classic example. Even though he was ill-treated by his own brethren, and though he was unjustly treated within the realm of the Egyptian Empire, God was still at work, and God eventually led Joseph to a position of great authority that led to the salvation of his whole family. And therefore, he rightly said, in Genesis 50 verse 20, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. God is at work. God is continually at work. And in Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 4, the Bible reads, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you." Just because we don't see God's work, it doesn't mean that God is silent or inactive. God is always at work. See? And that's where we need to just keep walking by faith and just do right and keep marching. God led us out of Egypt. Our destiny is the promised land. Let's just keep marching. And Moses said to his people, "The Lord shall fight for you." The second part of verse number 14, the Bible goes on to read, "And ye shall hold your peace." Lesson number 4. God said to his people, don't react to what's happening around you. Unfortunately, they jumped to conclusions. And they made some accusations and they said to Moses there in verse number 11, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?" They jumped to conclusions. "Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" So poor Moses was falsely accused and he was charged by the Israelites that, "Hey, you set us up. You've really brought us out here so that we would die here because there's no more room for grave sites back in Egypt." What a ridiculous response. What a silly thing to say, don't you think? But we do say silly things when we open our mouth and don't just hold our peace. And the Bible teaches us that wisdom is that we would be swift to hear and slow to speak. And God in his infinite wisdom and in his intelligent design has given us all two ears and one mouth. One mouth, one tongue. There's a reason for that. It's not a coincidence. I believe in intelligent design, do you not? Well, why don't we live out intelligent design? And listen twofold to what we're prepared to say. Amen. God said to his people, "Now you hold your peace." That's ridiculous to say that. That is not true. You have not been led out to die in the wilderness. God has led us out to lead us in to the promised land. Brethren, when the Egyptians are in pursuit, we need to hold our peace. And we need to guard against reacting unbiblically as the Egyptians pursue. This was a marked quality in the life of King David before Saul, who tried to kill him. The Bible teaches us he behaved himself wisely. Hold your peace. Note then verse number 15. God also advised his people by the hand of Moses to go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God told his people to stop your crying and just keep moving forward. The people wanted to go back into Egypt instead of pressing forward. They wanted to go back and serve the Egyptians once again instead of serving God. They wanted to go back and live under slavery as opposed to raising a godly seed within the promised land. They wanted to go back and worship the gods of the Egyptians as opposed to worship the Lord God Almighty alone. My friend, our mandate from God Almighty is to advance, brethren, to go forward in the will of God. May God grant us the grace to keep pressing forward. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's a church that's pressing forward. That's not a church that's hiding in the bunker. That's a church that's still going forward, advancing, pressing forward, doing the will of God, advancing in evangelism, advancing in growth, advancing in service, fulfilling the will of God. Go forward. Pastor, what am I to do? The Egyptians are in pursuit of me. I'm just trying to do the will of God, but I'm met with opposition. My advice to you, brethren, is press forward. Just keep going forward. That's what we need to do. That's what God's telling us to do. And in order to press forward, we need to follow leadership. Note in verse 16 it reads, God said to Moses, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground and through the midst of the sea. As God told his people to press forward, God instructed Moses to provide some leadership. I see in this verse that God told Moses to provide the direction that was needful in this hour. And then he called the people to follow. And my friend, as God provides direction in your life and in my life, God calls us to follow. The Word of God provides that direction. And God has his appointed leadership over each of our lives to provide godly direction. And when the Egyptians are in pursuit, our responsibility is to follow that God-given direction that has been provided. Follow leadership. That's lesson number 6. Lesson number 7, last but not least, are you ready for this one? It might get worse before it gets better. I didn't think you'd like that one. I don't like it either. But that's what the Bible teaches. It might get worse before it gets better. Note there in verses 17 to 20 of chapter 14, the Bible reads, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. So the Egyptian army is not giving up. And as God's people are about to march through the Red Sea on dry land, the Egyptian army is still pursuing. And God told his people that the pursuit of the enemy will not die down, but it will intensify. And why is this often the case? It seems like things tend to get worse before they get better. Well, let me give you a couple of reasons. Well, the darker the night, the brighter the light. Amen? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The fiercer the battle, the sweeter the victory. There's 3 good reasons why it often gets worse before it gets better. God is worthy of all glory. Therefore, he will so work in a way that he alone will receive the full reward. So therefore, it's understood that things need to get worse before they can get better. Well, God began to work, and the Bible teaches us in verse 21 that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Then in verse 22, the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall. Under them, on their right hand and on their left. And verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued. Now, wouldn't you think if you were an Egyptian and you were pursuing this group of people that outnumbered you 10 to 1, there would have been at least 2 million Israelites. There were 600,000 men, throwing a few children per family,
or why?
Now wouldn't you think if you were an Egyptian, you were pursuing, and before your very eyes you see the Red Sea open up, and beyond that you see a group of people walking through waters on the right and waters on the left on dry ground. Now wouldn't you think you and I would say, well, I think we'll leave this one alone. And, boss, what's the next job on the agenda? No, they did not. They pursued, the Bible teaches us. But God was still in control. See, in verse 25, as the Egyptians pursued, and as they began to ride on dry ground through the Red Sea, the Bible teaches us in verse 25 that God took off their chariot wheels. Their wheels fell off. And that's often how God works. God's able to do that. And when the Egyptians are in pursuit over your life and my life, we need to pray biblically that the wheels of their chariots will fall off. That's a biblical prayer. And also in verse 25, they finally realized that they were opposing God. They realized that. They were a bit slow off the mark, but they finally realized that. And then in verses 26 and 27, the Bible teaches us that God closed up the waters, and the Egyptian army in total was crushed, sandwiched by the waters. And verse 28 and 29 affirms the fact that they all died. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. Didn't God say he would take care of the Egyptians? He did what he said he would do. And all that opposed the work of God were dealt with, and God took care of them. God gave the victory. And then in verse 13:31, the Bible reads, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did unto the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. God gave the victory. My friend, when the Egyptians are in pursuit, fear not. Fear not. Let's look to the Lord for deliverance. Let's be mindful that God is continually at work. Let's hold our peace. Let's continue to press forward. Let's follow the directions that God provides for us by God-ordained leadership. And bearing in mind that it might get worse before it gets better, but fear not. God gave the victory. And my friend, this morning we need to do our part. Leadership needs to do its part. And God promises to take care of the rest. Are you being pursued by the enemy? And all that you're trying to do is just do the will of God. But you're met with opposition? Fear not. God will give the victory. God will provide a way through the Red Sea, but he'll also take care of the Egyptians. And he'll do a thorough job. He will. My friend, any advancement for the cause of Christ will be met with opposition. And when you and I face opposition in our Christian experience, let me encourage you to keep pressing forward. And bearing in mind that God will give the victory. It's no coincidence that in chapter 15 we find a beautiful song, 21 verses, praising God for his miraculous work in the midst of his people. My friend, when the Egyptians are in pursuit, fear not. Fear not. Let's press forward. Let's hold our peace. Let's follow divine leadership. Because God's still at work. And God will gain the victory. And let me just remind you this morning that we are still on the victory side. I've read the last book of the Bible, and the Bible teaches us we win. And all of God's people said, let's stand.